evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, December 16, 2020. Some teenage girls who got pregnant during COVID-19 related lockdowns say they want to return to school after deliveries.
Since Corona came, I could not go to school. And since the Corona outbreak for almost the whole of this year, I am at home and have not yet returned to school. This is something that made many girls this year to become pregnant.
And some internal displaced persons in Mangala say their camp is not secured.
These children went to fetch water at a place called Kulia. They fell into the hands of the abductors. The one who tried to escape was shot and killed.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some teenage girls who got pregnant during the COVID-19 related lockdown say they want to return to school after giving birth to their babies. A girl child rights activist in Juba says lack of understanding about the importance of education is partly contributing to many girls getting pregnant during the COVID-19 lockdown. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wood reports from Juba.
A 17-year-old girl who we are referring to as Jane to protect her privacy attends Juba Technical Secondary School. Jane says last year she was busy at school, but this year she became pregnant when she was not in school and had too much free time on her hands during the lockdown.
Since Corona came, I could not go to school. And since the Corona outbreak for almost the whole of this year, I am at home and have not yet returned to school. I am just at home. It has made me redundant. There is nothing that makes one busy. This is something that made many girls this year to become pregnant.
Another 17-year-old student of Darling Wisdom Secondary School, who we are calling Alice, to protect her identity, says she became pregnant during the lockdown.
You can talk to your boyfriend at any time. You can use the telephone freely. There is no one at home who can talk to you or guide you. And also, your boyfriend is not busy. He doesn't go to school or work, so you can walk to him and meet him at any time.
Jane says she regrets becoming sexually active this past year. She says she wants to go back to school after having her baby.
Once I deliver, I want to return to school because the level of my academics I have reached to, even if my parents will not support me, I can't support myself to finish my education because I am just left with 2 years to finish senior four.
Alice says when her parents discovered that she was pregnant, they confronted her boyfriend taking her to his home. Alice says she faced many challenges during the few days she stayed at her boyfriend's home, and when she complained, her parents allowed her to return home so she and her unborn child would stay healthy and safe.
There is nothing good in an early marriage. It is only if one puts efforts in education that is when one will get something good. Also, to mothers and aunties taking care of girls, staying with them, they should take proper care of them, because when the girls do not get the necessary parental support, it is one of the problems that make other girls to think of marriage.
Juba parent Estherina Frederick, who has a pregnant teenage daughter, says tough economic times has contributed to the problem of unwanted teenage pregnancies in South Sudan.
These girls, some of their parents do not have the school fees to pay. The economic situation has even now gotten worse following the outbreak of the corona. School fees have been increased, and now some parents cannot afford to pay. Talk of parents who are soldiers, they cannot afford even teachers or the civil servants.
Frederick says she is determined to send her daughter back to school after delivery.
Girls these days, when they are educated, they are a big support to their families. A girl, no matter how much she's stubborn, when she's educated, she can be a big support to the family.
Juba parent Peter Malir says some school girls are victims of socioeconomic challenges brought on by COVID-19. He says parents and the girls must work together to make sure that pregnant students are able to return to school.
There needs to be a very systematic program that will be set to really help sensitize and aware the parents to support their girls get back to school. There needs to be a program from the government and partners to really help girls, you know, get back to study and even to support, you know, children they might have in one way or the other given birth to.
Child rights activist Nono Diana Allison works with the local NGO Young Positive South Sudan, which campaigns against the early marriages. She says a lack of sex education and sex as a taboo subject in South Sudan exacerbates conditions that lead to many unwanted pregnancies during the lockdown.
Our parents have already locked their mindset to our traditions that sexuality education is a taboo. You cannot speak to your girl about menstrual hygiene. You cannot speak to your girl about how menstruations are supposed to be, you know, how you can keep yourself when you're in your menstruations and getting pregnant.
There is no clear data on how many school girls across South Sudan have become pregnant during the lockdown, but Diana says in Juba's Lologo residential area alone, her organization has confirmed 7 girls in one school became pregnant, and in the same community, 10 girls in other schools were impregnated. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Internally displaced persons at Mangala County of Central Equatorial State are calling on the government to provide security in the area. Community leaders within the camp say there has been a reoccurrence of killings and abduction of children at the camp in recent weeks. The police commandant in the area confirmed cases of abduction and killings. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
Traditional leaders among the IDPs at the camp say armed youth roam around Mangala on a daily basis, increasing fear among the IDPs. Makwany Dao Apai, a traditional chief at the Mangala IDP camp, says at least 4 people were killed and 2 children were abducted in separate incidents by unidentified gunmen in Mangala last week. Dao says 2 children, a 13-year-old boy who was recently killed and a 12-year-old boy who was abducted, were his nephews.
These children went to fetch water at a place called Kulia. This place is a little bit far from the camp. The children have to travel there to look for drinking water because there are not enough boreholes here in the camp. When they were back, they fell into the hands of the abductors. The one who tried to escape was shot and killed.
Dao is calling on the government to beef up security in the area to put an end to the killings and child abductions at the camp.
It was the government who said this is a good place for us to resettle in. They knew that most of this place is a forest, but they have not provided the security. I called upon the government to at least provide some police forces to be deployed around the camp. Now the IDPs are living in fear because of the recurring attacks that have been happening.
Another traditional chief in the Mangala IDP camp, Acheng Manjam, says a known gunman also killed 1 person and injured 2 others more than a week ago while trying to abduct a child at the camp. Jam says that incident and many others have caused IDPs to live in fear.
The attackers tried to abduct a child, but they were intercepted by a man who was burning the charcoal there. This man was a soldier. He exchanged gunfire with the attackers, but unfortunately he was killed. What I want to say now is that our government has shown us this place. Now we are here, but we need security. The people here in the camp are worried every day about an abduction that might happen. The attackers may come like they did, and no one will pursue them.
Mangala County Police Commander Captain Sahif Alhadi confirms one child was abducted and another child was killed last week. Alhadi says his force tried to pursue the attackers without success.
There were children abducted by criminals. It happened in the morning hours around the area called Ariel Lane when these boys went to fetch water. Yes, there is police. My forces and the wildlife went after these criminals from 11 o'clock until 8 p.m. We didn't get them. They ran away from us.
Peter Suwaka, a traditional chief in Mangala County, also confirms the two incidents.
Criminals captured three children. One boy resisted and they killed him. They took the other two. The youth went after them, but when they reached the desert near Tingili, they felt thirsty and the youth returned and the criminals went with the children. The major problem now is the problem of insecurity. There have been two recent incidents now by these criminals.
Suwaka says the government should deploy police to the area. When asked if he was aware of the attacks, Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management Minister Peter Mayen Majongdit said the camp is only there on a temporary basis.
Once the water subsides, then they have to go back home. There's nothing permanent there. What security? The fact remains that the Bari and the Mundari will never adopt anybody child. Nobody cares about other child. And does not even happen in Barkazal. It only happens in Jungle. Stop reporting lies.
The Mangala IDP camp was established in August by the Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management Ministry to temporarily host IDPs who fled widespread flooding in Jonglei State. It now hosts more than 100,000 IDPs. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Juba.
Traders and truck drivers along the Cameroon-Chad border have held a protest calling for an end to COVID-19-related restrictions. Those who depend on cross-border business say they can barely survive while customers are complaining of high prices and a shortage of goods. For VOA News, Muki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Cameroonian and Chadian traders and truck drivers held a 9-minute protest Wednesday on the Ngeli Bridge that crosses the border. Each minute of the protest symbolized 1 month since cross-border traffic was restricted in March to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The group that organized the protest, the Association of Truck Drivers in Chad and Cameroon, called for an immediate reopening of the border. 47-year-old Chadian truck driver Mal Goni says the lack of trade has devastated his income. He says Chadian drivers should be allowed to transport goods from the border to their capital N'Djamena, which are goods brought from Douala by Cameroonian drivers. Goni says Cameroonian drivers should also be allowed to transport from the border goods coming from Chad. Cameroon authorities say before March 5, when the first cases of COVID-19 were reported, at least 1,200 people crossed the bridge each day. Since traffic was restricted, they say the daily number crossing the bridge is less than 200. 51-year-old Cameroonian Chantan Zali transports palm oil, fruits, and vegetables from the Cameroon border town of Kuseri to sell in N'Djamena. But she says her Cameroon suppliers stopped selling her enough goods as prices have shot up with the pandemic.
On a bloqué les mouvements à cause de corona.
Zali says 3 kilograms of plantains that sold for $2 now sell at $6. She is protesting for the border to be reopened, she says, so she can at least make enough money to celebrate Christmas and New Year. Cameroon imports food staples such as sorghum, onions and groundnuts from Chad during lean seasons. Chadian groundnuts trader Abdul Aziz says his business has nosedived since March. He says since movement was restricted across the border, his daily sales dropped from over $2,000 to just $200. Aziz says his family is barely surviving. Cameroon and Chad sealed their shared border in March to stop the spread of COVID-19 after both countries recorded cases. Landlocked Chad, which relies on Cameroon for 80% of its imports, agreed to allow goods from its neighbor, but only if they were trucked from the seaside town of Douala direct to N'Djamena and if the drivers tested negative. But after COVID-19 spread further in May, both countries resealed the border. Etun Dimbala is head of disease control at Cameroon's Ministry of Public Health.
Les épidémies, on le sait, évoluent sous divers modes. C'est-à-dire qu'il y a effectivement.
He says at some moment in Cameroon, COVID-19 gave a false impression that it had been conquered. Mbala says if the government was not alert, huge numbers of civilians would have been infected. He says Cameroon and its neighbors maintained all the COVID-19 prevention measures they took when the first cases were declared. Mbala says if the measures are not fully respected, a second wave of infections could be worse than the first. Mbala says Cameroon and Chad hope to soon reach an agreement to reopen the border under COVID-19 prevention measures. Cameroon's Minister of Health has confirmed more than 25,000 cases of COVID-19 and over 400 deaths. More than 2,000 of the infections came as part of a surge within the past 3 weeks. The World Health Organization says Chad confirms nearly 1,800 cases and over 100 deaths. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, how is the Ethiopian conflict affecting babies? Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what food is the staple of your diet?
The staple of my diet is beans because that is the most affordable.
Well, I'm health conscious, so I always check my diet and know what I have to eat. It's not everything that I go for it. I don't have any staple food.
As a typical Ashanti man, fufu and then nkati kuntu with dry fish and tilapia, what I like.
Matoke, obviously. Matoke. I mean, I'm a Muganda and I think it's strong enough. I mean, you eat matoke, you get full.
Rice, then we also have pandedu yam, but they don't have it here. And you pound the yam and you use it with soup sauce. It's a very good food.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Expecting mothers and mothers with newborn babies are among the families living in the main border camp in Sudan after fleeing fighting in Ethiopia's Tigray region. The mothers say it is too soon and too dangerous to move their frail infants again to a more permanent settlement, as camp officials want to do. VOA's Heather Maddock brings us this report.
Tens of thousands of people have passed through this camp in the past month, searching for a place to wait out the war in safety. Many ran with nothing but the clothes on their back. Others carried a greater burden.
So,
Tisian Adusu is 25 days old, born here in the camp soon after her mother fled her hometown in Ethiopia and spent 3 days hiking to Sudan. Her mother, Miabelle Fitwi, is 24 years old and fled her home through gunshots and explosions within weeks of giving birth last month. She spent 3 days hiking on dirty paths, maneuvering excrement, and nervously watching out for snakes. Her baby appears to be sick, but Miabelle says she doesn't have any way of finding out what is wrong. Other mothers say they believe their infants are traumatized. Another child, Selimowit, was just 4 months old when her mother fled Ethiopia a month ago. The child's mother, Jeanette Wellamariam, says her baby had nightmares when they arrived at the camp and now frequently vomits. Officials are currently trying to convince families here to move to another camp further from the border. Parents of newborns say they think the long journey, an estimated 10 hours by bus on rough roads, could be dangerous for their already frail children. Many other families say they don't want to go because they are hoping their missing relatives will turn up here near the border. Nearly all say they want to return home when it's safe, but with the Tigray region still largely cut off from the internet and mobile service, the only thing known for sure is that countless loved ones are missing amid reports of continued violence, hunger, and crushing fear. Heather Murdoch, VOA News, Hamdayet Camp, Sudan.
A World Health Organization initiative reports it is failing to get money needed to provide poor countries with vaccines, therapeutics, and diagnostics to fight the coronavirus. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The Access to COVID-19 Tools Accelerator, known as ACT, is an initiative started by the WHO and partners to fight the disease caused by the coronavirus. Its coordinator, Bruce Aylward, says money from nations has trickled in when there should be a flood.
You know what, folks? Right now, financing is what stands between us and getting out of this pandemic as rapidly as possible. It's as simple as that.
The WHO reports more than 71 million coronavirus cases globally, including more than 1.6 million deaths. Aylward says urgent action is needed to close the ACT facility's $28 billion financial gap. He says the equitable distribution of COVID-19 life-saving tools in poor countries in the coming year depends upon that.
With all the attention on vaccines, it's absolutely essential that we continue to look at not just diagnostics, but therapeutics, if we are going to save the lives and prevent the severe mortality, which is what's at the heart of gumming up our intensive care units, our social distancing, and of course, resulting in the economic disruption.
Aylward says low and middle income countries are being left behind by rich countries in the competition to buy up as much vaccine as possible. He is appealing to the wealthier countries to contribute to COVAX, a WHO initiative set up to provide vaccines to the poorer countries at low cost. As of now, he says COVAX does not have the cash to buy 2 billion doses of vaccines for distribution to 92 developing countries next year.
So what we're trying to do with those 2 billion doses is target them in a way that it is going to unstick the ICUs, the social distancing, and get our economies going again. We've got to get the fear out of this disease, get the confidence back at the consumer level, the corporate level, the community level, the country level, and that's what we could do with that number. But we can't do it without $5 billion to close the gap.
Aylward says the successful development of protective vaccines against COVID-19 inspires hope that light is at the end of the tunnel. He cautions, however, that it will take a while to produce and roll out all the vaccines needed to rid the world of this pandemic. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still on COVID, another COVID-19 vaccine is on the brink of getting federal authorization in the United States. AP Washington correspondent Shaga Megany reports.
The Food and Drug Administration says a preliminary analysis shows the vaccine from Moderna and the National Institutes of Health is both effective and safe. Outside advisors are expected to recommend the vaccine this week, putting it on track for authorization soon after. It would join Pfizer's vaccine, which is being administered at hospitals nationwide.
We're really now starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel that is going to ultimately get us through this.
The first Pfizer shots are being strictly rationed to health workers and the elderly. But on ABC's Good Morning America, Dr. Anthony Fauci said it's important to vaccinate President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris as soon as possible for security reasons. He says President Trump and Vice President Pence should get the shots too. Sagar Magani, Washington.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. IDPs living in a camp in central Equatoria State's Mangala County are urging the national government to improve security there. Internally displaced persons community leaders say there's been several killings and child abductions in the camp in recent weeks. Traditional leaders at the camp say every day armed young men roam around Mangala, heightening fears among IDPs. Mangala Camp Traditional Chief Makwach Dao Apai says at least four people were killed and two children were abducted in separate incidents in Mangala last week. Dao says two children, a 13-year-old boy who was killed and a 12-year-old boy who was abducted, were his nephews. He says both boys were fetching water when they were attacked. Dao says the government told IDPs Mangala was a good place for them to resettle, but had provided no security. Teenage pregnancies have become a larger problem during the COVID-19 lockdown, according to children's rights advocates in South Sudan. One rights activist says the fact that girls' education is not treated as a priority in many parts of the country contributes to the problem. One 17-year-old who conceived during the lockdown says she had no parental guidance and was sitting idle at home, but last year she stayed busy at school. Another 17-year-old student at Darling Wisdom Secondary School in Juba, who also became pregnant during the lockdown, says there was no one at her home to guide her, and her boyfriend was not working or going to school either. The teenager says she regrets becoming sexually active this year and wants to go back to school after having her baby. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We would like to welcome our listeners on Voice of Hope Radio 98.6 FM in Wau Town to the family of VOA affiliate stations across South Sudan. We are glad residents of Wau are enjoying live programmings from the Voice of America. We now leave you with the song Akolubarao by South Sudanese music star Emmanuel Kembe. We've been listening to Emmanuel Kembe with the song Akolubarao. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your vehicles, homes, and phones. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Aperi daka lujua
Mana alisa geni wara
Kalimanjere kuwam Begelba wahid Nashukuru rabu na lekhirat Betira luwadi